The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is August 19, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Dr. Wong's a regular here at the end of every month, and he is my sponsor, one of my sponsors for Iceland. So go out to www.docsprefer.com. Next, we got Sorenex. www.sorenex.com. As you know, Bert is on every month. His father's on usually every other month, Richard. And they knew that, just to make long story short, I've been kind of dinged up with my left shoulder for the last 3 months. It's getting better and better. I've been able to carry the new Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher. And we're going to find out tonight here in upstate New York, where it's probably going to be about 105 in my garage. No worries, man. Test. I love it. So go out to Sorenex.com or call 803-978-2253, extension 111. Tell them I sent you. Hearts Collision, that's here in New York State. Heartscollision.com, 518-477-7937. As you know, Alex Verardi and Lori Verardi's son, they've been good friends of mine for a long, long time, and now I'm training their son, Alex, and he's doing phenomenal. And I'll make it quick. If things go as planned after basketball, he's going to be with me all winter, and we're going to take him up to 190. He wants to compete in strongman. This guy here couldn't be happier, believe me. To put that, I will say I'm going to pat myself on the back here. The theories, the ideas, the practical experience I've had, it's really rubbed off on this kid. He's a good kid, man, and he wants to learn, and I couldn't be happier than to help him with this, and we'll see what happens next spring. So go out to heartscollision.com. Next, top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Very simple ebook, 10 paragraphs. Think, take action, make gains. Put your foot through a wall. I don't give a shit what you do, all right? Well, I do give a shit what you do. But you know what? Go out. When Mike comes on, I hope we sway a little bit from some of the subjects. I got to get something off my chest today, too, that's been bugging the crap out of me the last 2 days about training. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, and we'll talk about go out and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. The winter circle is just about done. There's going to be major changes to both sites again, if you can believe it. You're going to see some big things coming at you. This is the granddaddy of everything I've done so far. 12 modules, 27 to 34 minutes long. It's got everything from my humble beginnings to the end, from my love of the power rack. Obviously, we have the return of iron boots. We have sandbag domination. We have ways to build monster arms. And it's not just going to be barbell curls, believe me. Go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. You can sign up for that right now. Strength times power equals success. Check that out. And obviously, you can look at our free video training series, our intensity training. Another thing, we are making some changes, obviously, with our sponsorship, which you'll see with that. But if you go out to Fiorello Barbell Co., you can click sponsorship for $300 a month right now. You can get on board with us. If you need any type of branding, Chris can do that. That's an extra fee. But we're sincere about this. We want to work with everybody for at least 25 years, okay? And I mean that wholeheartedly. And I've been doing last week, I did 15 podcasts last week. I can't believe I'm even talking still today, all right? We had two yesterday. I've still got five more this week. I've cut them down a little bit this week just to give my vocal cords a break. But I'm in it for the long haul, and I'm a guy that busts his ass at every turn. I work 7 days a week. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back, but I believe in what I do, and this is just the way I work. I'm very dedicated to everything I do. And you, and myself can make a hell of a 25 years. You can help us spread the show, build it bigger. That's what we want to do. I tell you, a million plus. I don't say that, you know, lightheartedly. I truly mean that. So go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com and check that out if you would. Last but not least, we got Chris Bigelow, who does all the magic here. MonsterDevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. You can click it on the homepage, too. It'll link you right to Monster Development. Well, I try to speed that up because we did it in about 4 minutes and 50 seconds today. It's just a lot of stuff. But today we got our good friend Mike Gillette. Mike's on every month with us now, and I couldn't be happier. Mike is a guy that I connect very well with. I think we see a lot of things in the same light, and I just enjoy doing these shows with him. If you're not familiar with Mike, and I'll just give you a few things because Mike can give a little description of himself as we do with everybody. Mike was a bodyguard to Fortune 500 execs. He's a strong man, obviously. I know he'll tell me, well, I'm not big like these guys. The guy is he's a monster with stuff. So, you know, you don't have to be a 300-plus pound guy to be strong. Obviously, too, he's a motivational speaker. Mike's got books out. He's a writer. He does some great things. And then I hope I can read that. Well, yes, Mike was an Army paratrooper, too. And Mike will tell you about that basically set everything off to where he really showed his greatness, man. He was in a very bad situation, and the guy pulled himself up from basically the brink of disaster. You know, when people are telling you you can't, that's what I like about Mike. He shoved it in their face and says, I can, and here we are today. Mike, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, my friend.
Hey, Eric. A pleasure to be back.
Pleasure to have you. Give everybody, you know, a quick bio. And, you know, we're going to talk today. Mike was just at the Dragon Door Health and Strength Conference. And Mike seemed to have a great time. And he learned a lot. And he's going to really tell us what was going on. There's some other things we're going to hit. But, Mike, if you would, please, just give a little bit about yourself.
Well, you're getting actually pretty good at doing my bio, and it sounds cool when you say it too. I like your delivery. Yeah, basically, the early days of my life, I was a very non-strong person, non-physical, you know, no self-discipline, no real self-belief. A lot of things played into that. But when the switch was thrown and I decided to become that guy, I went at it pretty hard. You alluded to it. I spent a couple of years as an Army paratrooper, and that was really was going to be a transitional stop for me. I had tried to become a cop, but I was simply too young, and I used the military as a means to get some money for college, get a little bit of life experience. But once I was in the Army, I became really consumed by it. It was the right thing for me at the right time, and it met me where I was at. And you also alluded to I had an experience related to that time when I left active duty and was in the reserves and pursuing my college degree via an ROTC scholarship. My first semester, I was in a climbing accident. It was bad. And I was told that I would never run again. I would never jump out of airplanes. I was medically processed out of the military, pushed into the admin office to do that in a wheelchair, wearing a back brace by my wife. And that was the beginning of a really difficult 4-plus-year period of my life. Happily, despite all of the disappointments and depression that occurred during that time, I was able to somehow physically overcome what seemed insurmountable at the time. And from then on, things have gone pretty well. I spent 12 years in law enforcement. That in and of itself was not that significant. I wasn't practicing law enforcement in a particularly amazing place. It was just a typical cop job, and I did that, and I liked it. It was very rewarding, but concurrent with that, I became involved very early on in those years in the training of other law enforcement personnel, and I liked doing that so much, and I seemed to have an aptitude that I basically built a Frankenstein resume. I sent myself to every possible school all over the country. So whether my agency was sending me to training or I was sending myself, I was developing a ridiculously oversized list of instructor credentials, to the point where by 2001, I was perhaps the most credentialed tactical trainer in law enforcement in the country at that time. I left law enforcement in 2001, and world events took place. They had a big effect on my career, professionally speaking, and I ended up doing a lot of post 9/11 Department of Homeland Security related training, consulting, and so on. And that led to indirectly the bodyguard work that you mentioned. That was 2006 through 2011, and that was also a very unique period of my life. I've had a lot of amazing opportunities. I've been a very blessed person with respect to that. But I was also very restless. There's always been a lot of things I wanted to accomplish. So I walked away from the protection field in early 2012 because there were other things I wanted to do that I would never be able to do if I was doing that, because that is a very all-consuming profession, lots of travel, long hours, and it never stops. Mm-hmm. So in early 2012, I stepped away from that, and which was a bold move, which is a cooler way of saying perhaps a stupid move. But happily, it seems to be working out, and I've been able to impact the world in a much bigger way since that time. You know, whether in the form of DVDs and books and live training and coaching and that sort of thing. And that's basically what I do now. And it's for me, it feels like a logical extension of all the things I did prior to that, because my objectives have always been about helping people get better at what they do. You know, perform better, perform in difficult circumstances, to get more of themselves, to get more out of themselves, perhaps than they ever thought that they could, which is, you know, very much typical of a coach. I just approach it in a way that is a little different simply because my background is a little bit different. That is Mike Gillette in a nutshell.
Well, Mike, you know, the thing is, too, about that, which I've noticed in a lot of my experiences in the last few years, and I think maybe we talked about this briefly on our last show, was this. You know, at the time when things are happening or you're doing things or maybe people you were with that, you know, for some reason you broke off from and you can't understand why at the time all this is going on and there's strife in your life with it and then there's accomplishment and then there's like you don't understand. And here I am sitting here today, you know, speaking with Mike Gillette, who's pretty renowned out in the strength world, obviously, and obviously the motivation world, among all the other gentlemen and ladies on here. Formed a company, two companies basically here with FBC and M&M, that came from, you know, due to a job loss, due to not knowing, you know, due to knowing that it was time to get out. And the money right now for me would be six figures easily, okay? That was, you know, it was close to that 2.5 years ago. And knowing that you don't have the cash coming in like that and you're wondering a lot of things. But what I'm getting at here, where we are sitting here today even speaking, this is a culmination of all those I don't understand or, you know, I just lost two of my best buddies now over training. You know, you don't know if, you know, you go with everything full steam ahead, a lot of enthusiasm, you know, obviously you want to pull this thing off and just say, hey, I did it. And I want to help anybody out there that's got a dream like me that wants to be an entrepreneur, wants to open a business. And what I guess I'm trying to say here, if I've got people confused or even you, Mike, is this: we never know, like you've done a multitude of things. And maybe you didn't envision yourself, you know, maybe at one time you said, you know, I want to help people because you've done that your whole way, a lot of the way I've done things. But here you are sitting here today, same way with me. And all those things that, you know, perplexed me or pissed me off or I didn't understand, I wouldn't be here today if all those things didn't happen. And what I'm trying to tell everybody out there is this. Don't think because you get slapped around a few times you can't do it, all right? Or you got to quit, or you got to listen to somebody else. But I'm sitting proof here of this, all right? I mean, literally hit rock bottom with everything. But you know what? When you're on the bottom, the only way you're going to go is up. So it's like no one is ever done. As I always say, if you're knocked down and you're laying on your back, but you can still look up, guess what? You can get up. I'll leave it at that. But when you said it, that's the way you did the bio, Mike. It was like it got me really thinking about that, you know, if you got the last ounce of breath in you, you can still make it. And I want to tell people out there, if they're sitting on the fence, get off the fence, man. Jump off the fence, land on your feet real hard. Maybe you even bite your tongue and you get a little blood out of it. But you know what? Keep going. Keep going. Don't let anything slow you down. And I'm telling you that honestly, sitting here sincerely saying that, because I've been in the same load for 2.5 years, and I feel our company's ready to burst in many ways. So I just spoke my piece, Mike.
I love it. Actually, it reminds me of something that I think sort of fits in with what you're talking about to a certain extent. You mentioned I was at this conference this past weekend, which I was, and it was kind of a big deal. It felt like a big deal for me because I've been a customer of this particular company for a number of easily 15, maybe 16 years, you know, DVDs, books, and so forth. And when I first discovered them from reading of them in Milo, sure. After I had just discovered Milo back around 99 or so, and I was late to that party, I was really a fan of the type of information, the specificity, the universality of it. Those of us who sort of came of age pre-internet had to really struggle to find good information. There wasn't, you know, bad information was out there, and it was out there in abundance. And, you know, bodybuilding consciousness superseded strength consciousness. There just wasn't a lot of strength info out there. And I didn't really know where to look for that back in those pre-internet days. So when I started finding those pockets of information, I was a very voracious consumer of it. So, you know, Dragon Door was one of those early places that I was finding that. So it sort of occupies an important space in my heart accordingly. So, and the only reason I was at the event is because all of their authors were at that event, and I am, as of a couple of weeks ago, a Dragon Door author, which is very exciting for me. And the book I just put out, Rings of Power, which is all about training with the rings, just hit number 10 on the Amazon bestseller list in their exercise and fitness category, and that was a big deal. But when I was introduced to speak by the head of the company, because I've been around a little bit, there's a fair amount to talk about. And after I was introduced, someone came up to me and they asked this question, and it simply was, how did you get to be that guy? Meaning this person who was described in a, you know, fairly impressive sounding introduction. Now, granted, John Duquesne can make people sound impressive. He's got a way with words, and he's got that awesome British accent. So literally everything he says just conveys a certain amount of heft and credibility. But nonetheless, I have done a lot of things. And two reasons for that, and one goes to what you were talking about, which is simply, you know, the aggressive pursuit of that which, you know, moves you. And I've certainly done that. I've done that my entire life. But there is that, you have to have that innate, you know, I'll just call it aggression. You have to have that, male or female. It's not a gender-specific quality. But you also have to be able to overcome the uncertainty, the insecurities, you know, the negative voices in your own head, let alone the voices that you're hearing coming from other people. And a particular time in my life really stuck out and was talking about this with some other guys just yesterday. Going back to 2001, okay, 9/11 takes place. The day of the attack, after watching the buildings come down over and over on cable TV all day, I'm driving home and I'm thinking to myself, you know, some people are going to be stepping forward with some training solutions, because I was a trainer. That was like my whole frame of reference. And I was looking at, you know, training is going to become a big part of the response or the solution to this problem which manifested that particular day. But at the time, we all thought was going to be one of many such problems. If you look at the polls that were swirling around the first few weeks after 9/11, the entire country was absolutely convinced there was going to be attack after attack after attack. Thankfully, that did not come to pass. In any event, I knew that there were going to be some people that were going to be doing a lot of work in the training slash consulting realm. And I certainly figured they were going to be cooler, more experienced guys than myself. So I gave it no thought. A couple of months go by. It's probably January, maybe. And I'm watching the news on a Sunday evening. It's after the news, and now there's some news magazine on, you know, these little info programs. And they say, right after the commercial break, we're going to show you what airline personnel are doing to protect themselves from terrorist attack. And I thought, okay, I'm going to see a segment on some slick, experienced dude, probably from the federal system, or somebody who's just really connected, and they have the relationships and the experience and the skills, and I'll get a sense of who it was I was, you know, hypothesizing about some several months earlier. So they come back from the commercial, and it's a guy in a judo gi in a martial arts training hall. And I'm thinking, okay, that doesn't make any sense. And there's a gathering of female, ostensibly flight attendants, and they're like wearing warm-up suits. And there's nothing in the training hall that suggests the interior of an aircraft. So there's nothing environmentally valid about what you're about to see. And then he starts showing these techniques that are then performed by these females, and all of the techniques are ludicrous. I mean, a hip throw, honest to God, a hip throw, which requires a lot of space in order to execute, not something that you can do in the aisleway of an aircraft that's only 14 inches wide, where you can only stand up in the very center of it in a, you know, large linear structure that is full of vertical fixed objects. So at that moment, I realized, hey, if this guy is an example of who's successfully penetrating this realm, then maybe I've still got a shot, because this guy is an idiot. So that was a Sunday night. The next morning, I'm in my boss's office, and I tell him, I think there may be an opportunity here yet. We may be too late. I don't know. I'm basing a lot of assumptions on one stupid little news piece. So we come up with a plan, and that plan is based on no aviation experience, no marketing experience to that particular industry, and we decide on a course of action to go after it. We went after it really hard. We went to Hollywood. We filmed training segments at a company that builds movie sets of aircraft, so that we could show my stuff in that environment. And then we had all of that footage edited into a package that we then sent to the CEO of every airline on the planet. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the most precise or effective way of doing it. Anyway, couple of months go by, and we get some RFPs, requests for proposal, from some large airlines, one of whom is United. United at that time was the second largest airline in the world, and that's only because there had been a merger between Pan Am and American. United is a huge company still. So we send in a proposal, and we go in and perform. Now, at the time, what I didn't know is that United already had worked with a trainer. Mm-hmm. And if I had any idea who that trainer was, I never would have thought for a second to even throw our hat in the ring, because it was a guy who authored some of the foundational use of force methodology that I studied when I was a rookie in the police academy. This guy was literally a founding father of modern use of force training methods. And if I had a clue that he was the guy, I would have said, no, this is so far above me that it's just silly. However, they used this particular guy, and then for whatever reason, they gave him the boot. Mm-hmm. So now they're in the market for somebody else. I had no idea who the other elses were. Mm-hmm. There were three finalists selected from a pool of I don't know how many. We were one of those three. If I had any clue who the other two were, I would have said, forget it. There's not a chance. We're done. One of them was a guy who 10 years earlier had certified me in his particular system because he was literally the top dog at that time of law enforcement conflict management training. He was a major pivotal figure. He still is to this day. It wouldn't have ever occurred to me that I would be competitive with him or could, you know, get the nod ahead of him. Thankfully, I didn't know it was him. So three vendors performed, then it was knocked down to two vendors. The other firm was a group from Israel. That didn't surprise me. The Israelis hold a lot of sway in the aviation security universe. We ultimately get the gig. Now, here's the point of the story, and I know that's a lot of setup. Once we got the contract, and it was a big, expensive contract, and it was a contract 18 months in length for a target audience of about 24, 25,000 employees over the course of 18 months. This is training executed on a scale that most people can't even comprehend. And once I was there and building the training from scratch at corporate HQ, I spent weeks and weeks on the ground at United HQ in Chicago. It occurred to me, I'll bet if we sent an unsolicited package to every airline, I'll bet some other people did too. I wonder. So I asked the training staff, hey, did you get anything from anyone else? They said, oh, yeah, we got some stuff. And I said, now that we have the contract, would you mind if I took a look at what you got? And they said, sure. So they took me to an office, and there was a gigantic mailbag. It was essentially a duffel bag, Eric, of letters and packages and videos, no DVDs yet, of all kinds of material from all kinds of experts. I dumped it out on a big table, and I literally saw every famous trainer that I knew of, guys who I had bought their books, their videos, I'd gone to their training courses, or I at least just knew who they were. And as I looked at all of these names and faces, Eric, it was evident to me that if I had any idea who we really were competing against, I never would have, because they deserved it more. They had more traction. They had more creds. They had more this. They had more that. But because I didn't know, it was simply a circumstance where I was competing on my own merits. We had no relationships in that industry. We had no previous accomplishments in that industry. We simply presented a training premise, laid out our previous experience, and the chips fell where they may. So that was the first large-scale training project that I was involved with as a civilian outside of my previous, government employee experiences. And it was the first domino of a number of, very significant dominoes for me. And the bottom line is I had the initial aggression. I had the idea. And I had to get past any apprehensions about who else might be out there. And fortunately, I made some assumptions, but I didn't really know. And I think if I really did know, it would have been a lot harder for me to compete as aggressively as I did. So the bottom line is, if you see it, if you have a passion for it, you need to do it. And there was a statement that was swirling around my head all the time. I had been given a piece of advice for my grandmother a number of years earlier. It was back when I was a rookie cop, and I was feeling frustrated because I felt frustrated a lot as a cop. You know, I had great arrest stats, but, you know, I was constantly running afoul of my supervisors. Then I was a supervisor, and my shift was running afoul of my next higher-up supervisor, even though we were leading the agency in arrest, you know, because of this reason or that reason. You know, I was all about results, and that was that. And I'm sitting on the couch in my grandmother's house. My grandmother, who had very little understanding of law enforcement, wasn't really a fan of the fact that I had gone into that line of work. She thought I was too smart for such things. She didn't understand that, you know, you've got to be pretty sharp to be good in that gig. Plus, I loved it. And she shared with me a piece of advice, Eric, that I think is important to share with as many people as possible. Her father, who died the year I was born, I never met the man. Was very much a self-made man. He grew up on a dirt road on a farm, you know, a town of maybe 500 or so people. Worked through college, law school, became a state Supreme Court judge. Was a businessman, owned real estate, owned a farm. Just a hard working guy, and never left small town Iowa. But he told her something that she saw fit to pass on to me that day, which is simply this: there's always room at the top. And that's what I found out, and I've kind of taken that to heart. So I have gone after things that are really more representative of being at the top rather than midway. And, of course, when you do that, Eric, you have a tendency to get slapped down, I think was your phrase earlier. I've been slapped down so many times. I've been told no probably 90% more than I have ever been told yes. And half the time I was told yes, I was never told yes. Those were just times I wasn't told no, and I went ahead anyway.
Well, I'll tell you this. Speaking of that, you know, there's always room at the top, because this is how I see a lot of things. You see a lot of people really make initial success, however you want to define it, you know, whether it's a money number, whether how big you want to grow your company or whatever. But I think with most people, they reach a threshold of just how far they want to go. And I've always been, I would never do that. I will keep going until I can't go anymore, because that's why I think there's so much room at the top, because I think people reach that threshold and say, okay, I'm making enough. Maybe I've got the two houses I want. Maybe I've got the five cars and the big pool and all that stuff, if that's what you like. Or maybe I can jump on a plane anytime I want and go anywhere, which I think is great. I think when you make money, you're wise with it. And man, I think you should enjoy every day with it, because damn, you worked hard for it. And I think what your grandmother said was right on spot, because I've always felt the same way too. I think it's human nature to get where you get, and hopefully you don't get a little lazy, because if you get lazy, then a guy like me is going to come streaming by you. you know what it is, Mike? I think we share a lot of things, but I'll tell you one thing I think we definitely share here is this. I know that you've done a lot more than I have as far as with, you know, products and things like that. But I think you and I share a big thing here. I think we're both very hungry individuals. And we've come up, you know, we both had success in other pieces of our life, you know, where I'd like to say the private sector, which I wholeheartedly believe in when it's run correctly. And now we're entrepreneurs. But I see a hunger in you, and I've got this insatiable hunger in me where I don't care what happened. Well, I don't want to say I don't care, because I care more than anybody would ever know. But no matter what, I'm going to do this. No matter what, I'm going to get my million people. No matter what, I'm going to make a life out of this business where I can have a nice home and have the things I need and help people and help my family, help my friends, things of that nature. That's what I'm really into. If I can afford a 911 twin turbo Porsche, I can't fit in it probably. But
that's going to be my next question.
Well, I'll drive it for you
if you need me to. Because I'll fit.
Absolutely. But what I'm saying is this, okay? A shoehorn will work, you know? It's okay. But here's the deal. J- just, j- just to know that everybody, but you got to be a certain type of individual to want to get to the top, however you want to define the top for yourself. But to do there, and this was like one of the beefs, and I don't want to get off too much of the subject matter, what we're going to talk about, but this is something that's been bugging the crap out of me for a few days now. And I don't go out, you know, you and I both know we have to use Facebook and other streams for business and all that. But, you know, I get real tired of looking, you know, and I try not to read into stuff too much. But, you know, this, that, and the other thing is going to get you here, there, and everywhere. And no one says a damn thing unless it's somebody that has really done it and wants to be honest with you about it. I don't hear people say, well, you got to break your ass a little bit. It's like, you know, do you think something, you know, like a 500-pound deadlift or a, you know, a 250-pound press overhead or, you know, carrying a 350-pound rock is just going to drop out of the sky and someone's going to stick something in your head and you're automatically going to be able to lift them. And I'm like, this is a lot of stuff that I see going on with everything. You know, you and I have talked about with the younger kids. John Bruni and I just did a show about that, and Gareth and all these guys. I think there's so many things out there. I'm not going to call these people snake oil salesmen because I don't know any of them and I can't do that. But I see – I call it dishonesty in a lot of ways. I don't like a lot of those trends, and they piss me off because people are spending their hard-earned money on things that aren't going to deliver, and I can see right away what they're talking about. They're not going to deliver. Whether their child or, you know, son and daughter get damaged mentally or hurt. These things are bugging the crap out of me lately. It's like I'm trying now, even with every show I do with everybody now, we're kind of like even addressing things like that because it's vitally important to be able to, whatever you're doing, to at least have somebody. I don't care who you are, but somebody that you can go to, somebody that you think that's on the up and up, brings it, they've done it already, and they know how to adjust. And I think that's a word that I've been popping on besides basic, adjust, adapt. Because you and I both know, you train young athletes, especially with the gymnastics, the girls, and, you know, the team you were talking about last time, they're like, nice kids, smile, but when they get in there, man, they're like steel-eyed, all right? I love athletes like that. But they know how to conduct themselves. They're gentlemen and ladies. That's a winner, okay? But I think in this day and age, more than ever, and I'm stressing this all over, it's like anybody out there that's listening to these shows with Mike and I or anybody on the shows, I'll tell you right now, go out when you find somebody. Make sure you check up on them. Make sure that they have proven success. Now, that doesn't always mean that's going to translate to who you have, but if that doesn't work, get out of there quick and go. That's just kind of my rant about things because – I've just been seeing too much of this stuff around. And I know, you know, I got a kid here. And I know as a kid, man, it's like, you know, you don't know everything. You're kind of looking maybe for a little direction. Maybe I got a lot of that. Maybe I didn't. I had some good people I was around. But you know something? I'll sit here and tell you right now, and I told you on the last show. I think if you have the demeanor, the personality, the drive, the action, the commitment, the enthusiasm, on and on and on, and you can train alone, and you can do the things you've done, I've done with making equipment to fit my needs because I don't have a spotter, a power rack that saved my life a million times, build stones if you can't afford them, go to a river and get them. These things are all essential. If you can do that, I promise you, not only will you be the best you can be, at anything you choose to do, and this is going to go into your private life too. I had a teacher in school, in college, Frank Klein. I think I talked about him maybe with you before. He taught me. I took all my business classes with him. He was the main guy with marketing, and he was one of the best people I've ever met in my life. And he was a semi-pro football coach also. So you know when. Couple of us guys walk in, he sees the big shoulders and stuff. He knows he's got two guys coming in that he's probably going to relate to. Well, from the first day, we hit it off. I mean, I didn't even know the man. We sat and talked like after class for probably an hour. And he said one day out in front of everybody, the whole class, and the marketing class was big, probably at least 65 people. And he said, he singled me out. And he was like, you look at Eric with the training and stuff. He said, if he takes what he's done with that, and brings that into anything outside of the gym, you're going to see the most successful guy ever. I thought that was one of the nicest compliments I got. But I want to tie it all into what I'm saying here. It's like, if you can do things alone in the gym and get very good at them and do kind of like a lot of the stuff I've done, and I'm not saying I'm the best in the world. There's always somebody better. I'm pretty damn good at what I do, and I'm very thorough, and I love what I do, and I want to keep passing this on. I think you can be one of the best trainers. You want to put out extreme products. You want to have like a podcast like me. When you bring this, and I feel I bring this to every show, and I mean, there's some shows where I'm like out of my mind, literally, where you would think, what are these guys doing here? Drinking on the job? Are they doing? I mean. But I'm telling you right now, with me, it's all adrenaline, enthusiasm, and passion. And that's why I want to pass on to you, Mike, and everybody else here that don't be afraid, as my father said, take the bull by the horns and go after it. That's what I did, doing. That's what you did and you're doing. And I hope everybody else has. And I hope I haven't rambled for too long. But you get my ramble.
Yeah, I do. And, of course, it always concerns me that I understand exactly what you say most of the time. but on the upside, I think your listeners do, too. I think that's why they tune in. It's just kindred spirits. Yeah. But one of the things that you said really resonated with me, because it's a theme that I have been hitting pretty hard for many years. And there's, you were talking about sort of the immediate gratification culture we have. And I also think that translates to people who work in these realms that you and I are in, these coaching realms, mm-hmm. whether we're talking, on the physical side, on the mental side, and so forth. There are so many people who are ostensibly experts, or at least they're mm-hmm. holding themselves out as experts, and they're remarkably thin on having actually done anything. And that's one of the things that probably vexes me more than just about anything else, is mm-hmm. The magnitude, the great many people who are out in the marketplace ostensibly offering solutions to people who have never done anything.
Yep.
And there are two phrases that I've been championing since I think I first came across them, and I heard them both from a cop. I was attending a training course in 1994 at the Northwest Public Safety Institute at Northwestern in Evanston, Illinois. And the two phrases go something like this. And the first one is, you can't give away that which you don't have.
Right.
So if you don't actually have it, it's not yours to give.
Yep.
And the other is, you can't take someone where you yourself have never been.
Right.
Yes. I mean, we can talk about interesting theory all day long, but I like to get my theory from people who have put that theory to the test.
Mm-hmm.
And, conversely, I don't do anything, I don't teach anything, or, consult on anything if I don't have direct, practical, working knowledge of it. Exactly. And, that's just really more an ethical thing. I don't think that it makes sense. I don't think it's a responsible thing to do. I mean, there are so many things I've done that it's not like I have a shortage of things to draw from. And if I'm not the right guy for a particular job, I'll tell somebody, mm-hmm. and usually I'll know somebody who is.
Yeah.
So.
And that's no. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I just think it's that sort of a symptom of where we are sort of societally. I think it's nice to say, hey, you can be whatever you want to be. It's like, yes, but you don't get to be it simply because you say that you are it. I am not a brain surgeon because I think it's a cool sounding idea. I'm only a brain surgeon if I have studied it and demonstrated competency in the appropriate contexts, and then and only then, do I get to claim that. and we have a lot of people claiming to be an awful lot of things, and, you know, caveat emptor, the buyer beware.
Yeah, and you know something, we've got some points here I want to hit too. I'll tell you this, I hope in some ways, and in other ways, two different fronts kind of. I want to see a lot of the stuff we do, like we talked before, how people have made comments to me that they see this show, that it's starting to bring a lot, especially with the stone lifting I've been pushing, a lot more of it to the surface. They like to call it mainstream. I don't care if you want to put that label on it. I don't like that word, really. That would be great. But on the other stance with me, I kind of like doing the one car garage thing. I like the one-on-one thing. I like the ability to study the student and the student study me, because what I'm doing with Little Al, we're going to have him in a strongman contest. I am looking to have him in by May of 16 at 190 pounds, where he's weighing, well, I'll get a weight from him. Last weight he was up 6 pounds and 151. I want to bring him up to 155. I think it's a very good 10 pounds. The way we put it on him, the strength we built, he's not going to get shoved around anymore the way I've set him up. He might get some knocks, but he's not going to be bouncing around. But what I like about that whole thing is this. I'm going to take this kid this winter. Well, keep building him. He's going to train me all winter. I'll make the schedule, but he's going to dictate how many sets we're doing, how many reps we're doing. He's going to have to learn to look at me and say, okay, I see something that might be off. I'm going to train him in a way that a lot of people wouldn't even take a chance like that, because I see something very, very good in this kid. And I think he has the ability to become an observer. I'm an observer. I think being an observer will make you better in anything. And anybody that doesn't believe me, go out and just observe. Take a walk through a Whole Foods, observe. Go through a co-op, go through a local go anywhere, go to a mall. Just observe. See how people walk. See how people carry themselves. Watch how many of them walk with their head down, which I learned in martial arts at 12 years old. That's a good way to get your head broken off, but that's another show. To make a long story short, I'm going to make him the trainer, and I'm going to be the student. And I'm going to pull it off with this kid. And I hope next year we get two contests in. And I'd like nothing more than see him win both of them. Because I think that the way I've built him mentally now, and the way he goes after things, like you just said, aggression, which I'm a big, big guy. You know, anybody that hasn't seen my new stone, looking red, motivation. Or I'm sorry, that's not it. What the hell did I put on that now? I can't even think. Domination. Jeez, man.
There you
so,
go.
You know, that's what's going on in my head. But, you know, Mike, that's how I'm almost hoping in some ways some things go back to that one-on-one in a dirt road joint. And there's plenty of them around. But you got to be the type of personality, and you got to have the personality to be able to work with students and all that. I want the mainstream for a lot of what we do, but I also like that harken back to the old days, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, I know that we've got some stuff here. We have pretty much talked about being a perpetual student, but why don't we add on to that? Well, how do you see yourself? I know, you know, as a perpetual student, we were always learning, but how would that fit Mike Gillette's personality, so to speak?
Well, I have an example of that from as recently as a couple of days ago. First off, we can't just assume that everybody sees themselves that way, because mm-hmm. a lot of people get very wrapped up in, well, I've got this cert or that cert, so I'm good. I'm done. And now I'm going to live out my days making everything either conform to that model, or if it doesn't conform to that model, I'm going to discount it out of hand. Mm-hmm. That's usually the sign of somebody who's not terribly sophisticated and has mm-hmm. a wafer thin knowledge base, and that's mm-hmm. a lot of people. And I see those people in any number of systems or or training approaches or schools of thought, if you will. And that's an area. I mean, the reason that some people are successful is, you know, you used the word hungry a little while ago, and I think that describes some people. In my case, I'm hungry for knowledge. I'm perpetually curious, and I want to be as good as I can. So I'm always, if people want to know, you know, who are the guys that are buying all the books and the DVDs, it's me. I mean, I'm buying as much stuff as the new people. That's ongoing. So at this event that I was at, this Dragon Door Health and Strength Conference, one of the key things for me that I was looking forward to was having an opportunity to meet Marty Gallagher. And for people who don't know who Marty Gallagher is, if you're a strength trainer, you're simply being negligent because, you know, he's amazing. He's been around many years as a writer. For those of us that sort of came up pre-internet, you may even know the name when he was the training editor for Weider Publications. Back in the day when that was the dominant way that anything weight-related information-wise was communicated to the masses. It was coming across his desk at one point. But he started off very young as a Olympic lifter and then transitioned to powerlifting, trained under some legends himself, and then has the distinction of having trained Ed Cohn, always considered the greatest powerlifter who ever lived. Marty has written a book specifically on what he did with Ed. He wrote a book, I think maybe a dozen or so years ago, Dragon Door actually published it, called The Purposeful Primitive. He writes extremely well. He's a very learned, well-read guy. He's, you know, one of the best writers, just qualitatively talking about the craft of writing, and he's just very, very astute with respect to how to get people very strong, and he's one of the grand old men of the strength game, and I didn't know how we'd get on. I certainly didn't presume that he would have a clue who I was. I just wanted to meet the guy and, you know, just soak up a little bit of his magic. And I knew the fact that he was presenting twice in a weekend-long conference, that was just bonus for me. So the night before the conference, he comes into the hotel with a few other folks who had just returned from dinner, and I'm thinking, okay, here it is. I want to, you know, make a good impression. Walks right up to me like he knows me, shakes my hand. First thing he says is, "How old are you?" You know, because, you know, I think he's like 62, and I say, "Oh, I'm 53, and he's still squeezing my hand. He's looking right at me. He's like, "You look effing great." And he didn't say effing, I'm being polite to your listeners. And, you know, it's like right off the bat, you know, he's complimenting me, and he was just a very gracious guy. Powerful, penetrating intellect. We talked about strength that weekend. We talked about music, books, film, you know, because he's that kind of a guy. And it was absolutely glorious to have an opportunity to learn from him, as well as his co-author, Dr. Chris Hardy. They wrote a book that came out a few months back called Strong Medicine. It is huge. It is, you know, it's like a Manhattan phone book. And training, nutrition, sleep, it's unbelievable. I mean, everybody who's serious about training really needs to get that. But, you know, very much a student, Eric. I'm just – when I know people who are smarter than me, who have done things that I haven't done, I mean, I am all ears. I can never – I never feel as though I can be smart enough. In the same way that none of us feel like we could ever be strong enough, you know, it's the same thing. Yeah. You know, that mental muscle needs to be developed as well. And – a lot of people, this was something that was articulated by a pretty well-known female fitness blogger named Jen Sinkler, but she mentioned this on Twitter, and she said it, and it's like, yeah, that's absolutely true. A lot of people are familiar with a guy named Zach Evanesh. Evanesh, he's a Jersey boy. He's got two gyms. He primarily trains male athletes, high school age athletes, works with lots and lots of wrestlers. They gravitate towards this guy like he's the Pied Piper because he's intense and he's enthusiastic and he's just got all of this vibe. A lot of people also know him because he's prevalent on the internet. He's had a lot of training products and so forth. A lot of people seek him out just to talk about marketing. He's a very multifaceted dude, even though when you meet him, he's just really down to earth and he's all about the training. This guy probably paid more attention to every presentation than anybody. I mean, just laser focused, taking notes. This is a guy who ostensibly doesn't need any more learning, not to be successful. Right. His book with Dragonor, huge book, and it's awesome. It's just a collection of all kinds of great conditioning drills and so forth. It's great stuff. And it's got a lot of his just his personal story and his whole personality, which is kind of exhilarating. But here's a guy, big name. I've known of him for years, and he's out there and doing it in a big way. And I mean, I think he's even doing like some joint workshops with Travis Mash. So okay, I mean, you know, he's legit. He's punched his ticket, and he is taking notes and learning and soaking it up like crazy. And if Mike Gillette, as old as he is, if Zach Evanesh, as accomplished and well known as he is, still act like perpetual students, then I think your listeners might do well to take that lesson.
Without a doubt. And I'll tell you, remember how I told you a little while ago, I'm a great observer. Well, I'm a great talker, if you haven't figured that out. And I don't mean great.
One of my favorites.
Okay, well, I talk to anyone. And if you ever want to learn some life lessons, I've learned many that way, too. I said to you, and I say it always on the show near the end, when I say, I don't care if you can lift a 450-pound stone or a 100-pound stone, you're always welcome at my table, meaning at FBC and Motivation Muscle. And this is my premise with everything. I don't care who you are. You always have something that is going to be appreciated or relevant, because there's too many people out there, in my opinion, these days, and a lot of it is due to lack of confidence or being told you're a big nothing. All right, and plenty of people love to do that to you. Because they're just very cruel people, too. But here's the deal. There are so many people out there that have had life experiences and been through some things, and maybe they don't weigh 220, and maybe they're not rippling like cords of steel through their body. But that lumpy guy with the glasses might have more between his ears and more experience than this guy or gal toting around 10 bottles of water and thinking they're king shit, all right? The point I'm trying to make here is, just like Mike said, Mike reads a lot, I read a lot. Mike probably reads 10 times what I do, but that's not the point here. What I'm saying is you can learn a lot of life lessons from people. Don't discount people because you know, they don't look a certain way or they don't talk a certain way, because I'm telling you right now, you're going to miss out on some big things in life. And I've met people where I might be thinking about some things with different with the business or just personal or whatever. And I've talked to people just, you know, you don't have any agenda with them. You just meet them, say, at the bank or whatever. And, you know, somebody will say to you, well, you lift weights, or, you know, how are you today? And you might strike up a 5-minute conversation. And, you know, they might just say something that, like, holy shit, that's the answer, man. So all I'm saying to you is, you know, you can be – not only being a student of strength and being a perpetual student, I think that all goes with the outside world too, because there's an awful lot out there for us to still bite our teeth into and go after. But not everybody thinks on those lines. And once again – I have to revert back to what we all do here with the physicality stuff. I still think, and I'll always believe it, you know, depending how you grew up, whatever, that will be irrelevant. Once you can bite into the iron, the stone, Mike does a lot of the gymnastics. You see, Mike, he's a big-time bender, all this stuff. All this stuff formulates you, all right? And if you learn, and I don't mean just do it, it becomes your DNA, your blood, your brain matter. If you can incorporate this and make it one with you, all these things Mike's talking about with the perpetual student, it all comes to shape, man, because you build this type of attitude and this drive and this power and this passion. And it's like me, man, it's like right now I am very enthusiastic. I usually am, you know, I'll be on like a 12-hour high because I know in about 4 hours I'm going to be out crushing shit. All right. That's just my mentality right now. But you'll always be a student if you think on those lines, and don't discount others out there. And obviously don't be afraid to go up like Mike does. Put your hand out. Hi, I'm Mike. Hi, I'm Eric Fiorel. Nice to meet you, Mike, after 2 years talking to you. This is how, and it's almost when you see this, and I'll let Mike comment on it, especially with the two gentlemen that he met. It's almost like you know these guys and girls. It's like you talk to them, it's like, Jesus, man, I feel like I've known you for 10 years. What do you say, Mike, about that? Is that a good observation, or am I off?
I think that's dead on. You know, but what really sticks out for me is what you're talking about, you know, the idea of being accessible for people. That's the name of the game. You never know who you're helping out, who you're impacting. Mm-hmm. And that was one other thing that I was kind of confronted with at this conference. Recently, I had a product come out, DVD. It was all, you know, mental training, and mm-hmm. it was promoted by a number of folks. You know, sold all over the world, 40 plus countries. It did well. You know, that was gratifying, that's kind of abstract. And one of the companies that promoted it very successfully was actually Dragon Door. And I had a lot of people come up to me over the weekend and tell me, hey, I got your Psychology of Strength product. And I said, yeah. And they said, yeah, you know, it was awesome, or it, you know, really inspired me, or, you know, you've made an impact on my life. That that's intense to hear from 3 feet away.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we talked a little bit about my injuries, and I met a guy who has just overcome grievous back injuries, the sort of thing. You know, I mean, he was a strength trainer, martial arts guy, had a gym, and didn't know how all of that was going to go, had a young child, you know, had a lot of things riding on him getting better, you know, to include just wanting to be better. And he told me that his girlfriend – you know, read about, you know, my story, read about this product, and bought it for him, you know, in hopes that it might, you know, give him a little push. And when he was sharing some of the details about that, that was intense. And, yep. I mean, you know, in a very good way, very powerful way. And it really reminds me of the fact that, you know, we all have a tremendous capacity to impact the world in a variety of ways, you know, one-on-one, you know, when you're training people, you know, the guys are out there, you know, doing, you know, boot camp fitness in a park, what, you know, just getting people excited about, you know, being strong or getting back in shape, rediscovering an aspect about themselves maybe that's been kind of dormant for a while. The encouragement that we can give to other people via social media, you know, there's, you know, we can either decry, you know, how the world is, or we can just recognize, hey, this is how it is, and then work within that context and do as much good as we possibly can until we're done. And that's kind of how I choose to live, and I feel very grateful that I have a lifestyle that allows me to be that kind of a person. And I think the more of us that we can enlist to the cause, the better the world's going to be. And the beautiful part is it makes you so much better in the process. You know, I have never been more fulfilled. I've never been happier or more satisfied than being the guy I am today versus the, you know, the action guy who's doing a lot of gee whiz cool stuff. That was all great, and it was you know, professionally fulfilling, but there it wasn't reaching me really in the depths of my soul to the extent that what I'm doing now is. And I consider myself very fortunate that I've been able to kind of connect with that side of me and figure out how to, you know, bring that side out for others as much as I'm able. And I know you're doing that in much the same way, reaching people with you know, motivation muscle, getting people fired up. There's a million reasons not to train. There's a million distractions, you know, all of that.
Yep.
And for you to continue to be that voice, you know, when I made that analogy, you know, talking with Eric is like hooking yourself up to a battery, and it is. And I think you're probably a battery for a lot of people that you've never, you know, many of whom you'll never meet. But nonetheless, those relationships are very, very important because they in turn get to be that battery for someone else.
And they're very important to me. And, you know, you can tell Mike you love what you do. I can hear it in your voice. I mean, there's a certain way, even if you're not here physically, I can hear you carrying yourself vocally. But I'm going to tell you something I haven't said to many people. This is the first time I've ever said this even on the air. When I go out and train tonight, I have to do dead stop squats. Anybody that's not familiar with that, that is starting at any position in the power rack with on the long rods. Usually they use them for safety, so if you get caught, you got something to lay on. Well, I start everything right at the bottom of the lift. That means no rebound. Try it. You'll love it. It'll beat the snot out of you the first few times. If you want, if you need anything, I'll help you. That's, it has nothing to do with that. But I have a feeling I reached the world in a lot of other ways, and I'll tell you how. When I'm out there all alone and I'm talking to myself and I'm saying, you know, you're going to get this. This is greatness. You're going to fire this. Whatever I'm going to do, you know, three breaths, sink, smash, you know, it'll be coming all the way up, down. It'll come. It'll be like a big yowl. Away we go. Well, I feel in that way and with the stones and everything I do when I'm alone, I'm giving a mental surge to the universe. I've always felt that. And anybody out there I feel that's training or struggling or anything, and this is no ego when I say this. I mean this wholeheartedly. When I'm out there training and basically shearing myself in pieces, and tonight I'll tell everybody it's probably anywhere from 102 to 105 in my garage. Tonight, another step in my life to see how much I can take, as Rocky would say. How much can you take? Really, how much, man? And you know, can you keep coming back swinging? Can you take more and more? This is the whole meaning of my life to me. But I try, when I'm out there, to communicate with the world. And I know that might sound a little bit off the tee there, but it's not. Because I still believe everything you think, everything you do, it's just like I'm a conductor all the time, and it's just transmitting back to me all, everything. And I feel that's another way for me to communicate to people, because I think strength, and there's a lot of other things that go with strength, but I'm just going to use the word strength. I think strength for me is the definition of everything I am. You can incorporate commitment, action, duty, honor, love. You can incorporate negative things into it because we all have them, all right? But that's how I perform when I'm out there. I feel that I have an audience with me always. You know, and I always have Jim with me, my brother. He's always with me no matter where I go. Always. It's like he's like that angel on my shoulder all the time. And that's something I've never shared with you or many people, because people might look at you and do like a double take. But I'm telling you right now, the power of your silent communication is out there everywhere. And anybody that doesn't believe me, keep thinking something negative about yourself and watch what will happen. So I try to communicate that way, and obviously through Eminem and anybody I meet. So, Mike, now you can say I'm really, I don't know, maybe I'm not even battery standard now. I might be like, I don't know, some kind of like power station at this point.
I think so. I think we're going to promote you to power plant, yeah. I think it fits.
But does that make sense to you?
100%. And okay. What I'm thinking about is I hear that, is that I just wish more people felt that same kind of connectedness with their own training, because how much more successful would they be? You know, all the people who train, I mean, you know, yeah, they're disciplined and they get themselves in the gym and they go through it, but it's kind of a joyless thing. You know, imagine if they could just connect with the purposefulness that yep. that you have, you know, that yep. the people like you have, because it's not just the path to accomplishment and greatness. I mean, those are all wonderful, but it's the path to satisfaction. You know, I want people to feel great, to feel joy about what they do physically, so that all of that carries over into everything else that they do. And, you know, to hear you articulate it the way you do in this sort of, you know, kind of larger than life way, it's very powerful. And I think it's very meaningful. And I think people need to hear it in those terms to really get that. And hopefully when they hear you say that, it sounds so good to them that they make the decision, hey, I want that for me. I want that to be me. And of course, it can be. You just have to decide. You just have to make it so. So, go out and freaking claim it.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I said this when we were filming about a week and a half ago when I was showing the garage and everything there. I said, this is where it all begins. This is where all the brain power starts right here. And I meant that, because I can sit here and talk to you and I can think, when we're talking, I can jot down a million things that are coming to me or whatever. But when I'm out there, that's like when the wheels really start rolling, because you're in a whole different game there. Well, it's not a game. Your mind is working in different ways when you're out there, because let's face it, I hate that word, but you're under stress because you're putting an awful lot of iron on you, or maybe stone, or, you know, you're on gymnastic rings or whatever you're into, okay? Everybody has their own form of what is pushing on them. But when I'm out there, I'm experiencing a multitude of feelings, of things going through me, of things, not looking, and you're like smacking your hand with a plate in it against the power rack, right? That doesn't feel real good. And if you drop it, you could break your foot if it's under there. What I'm saying is, you're going through such a multitude of feelings, and then we're not even on the bar yet. We aren't even breathing yet. You know, we haven't even taken a swig of water yet, and already things are cooking, man. And I'm alert, and I'm sharp, and my eyes are wide open, man. And I'm like thinking, I got to get this thing straightened out. I got to get to Iceland. You know, I got to get to Scotland. I got to get Fiorello Barbell big time. You know, all this kind of stuff. And it's just so many things happening, man. And it's like, things are happening so fast. It's like at lightning speed. Probably when we're done, I couldn't even tell you 2/3 of them, because I'm working in such a monstrous mental way. And I got to tell you, those things, you know, we talk about, you know, a teacher, you know, imparting things on the world, meaningful stuff. This stuff here I'm giving everybody right now, and I am giving it to you, all coincide with what we're talking about today. I'm one of the biggest students. I love listening. I especially love the listening things. I mean, today I was listening. I bet I listened 2 hours on and off before the show to Les Brown. He's a big speaker. I like the way he delivers things. I listen to everybody, all right? I read voraciously. I love to read a lot of the old stuff I have here in the Hard Gainer, Milo's, you know, Matt Fury stuff, all kinds of stuff. I go out, reread, and say, I don't remember that. But this is what I just want to impart, and I'm going to get right back to Mike, is this. Go out and do things like that. Go out and measure yourself up, and don't expect it to happen the first time, because I'm not even scratched the surface what I want to do out there. But when you get out there, man, you get the fulfillment of, hey, you know what? You know, I lifted that rock tonight. All right, I failed with it tonight. I'm pissed, but I'm going to get it next time. Or I got that big piece of iron I got, you know, and nailed it. And, you know, I get out of that rack and I'm feeling great, man, and my traps are up to my earlobes and, you know, holy shit, here I come, you know? And you know, you get excited about maybe you're going to train with somebody else, and I got little Al on the weekend, and I'm like thinking about his routine. this stuff is something that I can't describe it to you enough. It's like a balloon, and you can just blow it wide open, man. And it's like you can do things and stop sitting around and just taking it, man. I understand, you know, people have families and kids. I get the whole thing, but you know what? Wipe out that 21 hours of television you're watching every night and take 3 of those hours and put it into your training and your thought. Watch what will happen to you in a month's time. You stick with it, watch what happens to you in 6 months' time, and a year from now, you'll throw the friggin' TV out the window. That's all I'll say, Mike. However you want to finish it up, give all your information out. And stay on with me, and we'll talk offline if you would.
All right. Thanks, Eric. I'd love to have people check out my blog at MikeGillette.com, MikeGillette.com. It's all free content there, lots of stuff to read, images to check out. It's also got links to all of my social media channels, so people can hook up with me on Instagram and Facebook, YouTube, etc. People can check out my Psychology of Strength program at strengthpsychology.com. Very long, detailed website that explains everything that is. So if people are interested in that, they can check that out. You can read about my new ring training book, Rings of Power, dragondoor.com. And there's reviews on that, I think, on Amazon as well, from some happy and some pretty credible sources last time I checked. So that's pretty cool. So those are some of the things that are out there. Everything else is kind of crazy and not really with this in this domain, self-defense DVDs and so forth. But you can find all that just by Googling Mike Gillette. But, yeah, definitely check out the blogs because that – there's something there that will speak to you, that will make you think a little bit stronger today, guaranteed.
And Mike, do you got? I mean, I didn't want to cut you off. Is there anything else you want to add to the show? I mean, I didn't mean to, you know.
Bro, I think you have put a cap on it. I think you brought her back around in a big way.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't want to cut you off. I mean, if you think that I handled the ship well and we didn't go. Sure, then I'll take your word with that.
But the seas were wild and woolly, but we landed this beast.
Hey, I tell you what, there's nothing like it. I love it, and like yourself, tonight's going to be a big night. I have high expectations, and tomorrow will be even a better day. And sleep good during the night. That's cool. I mean, that's good. That's good enough for me. And start all over tomorrow. And you know, we're gonna take another chunk out of the apple. That's how I look
at it.
So,
brother.
Yeah. So this is Motivation Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Go out and check them out. Also, as I said, Dr. Wong is on monthly, just like Mike. Hearts Collision. This is for New York residents, heartscollision.com, 518-477-7937. Tell Lori and Alex I sent you out there. Fiorello Barbell, Motivation, or Eric. They know them all. Sorinex, sorinex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. I thank them for sponsoring me with the Diamond Bar, Bert and Richard. Great people. Great, great people. Fiorello Barbell Company. Or FiorelloBarbellCo.com, 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. That's a free ebook. Go out and check that out. The Winner's Circle, the same thing, FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Check that out. Obviously, if you sign up for that, you get the free training programs to look at. We got some great video out there of me doing a lot of different things, and you're going to see a lot more. Also, sponsorship, FiorelloBarbellCo.com. I was telling Mike offline that it is going to go up in rate, but right now it's $300. Like I said, we really want to work with everybody. We have, you know, Chris Bigelow does all the work here. He does beautiful branding. He can do that. That's extra money. But we signed on with muscular dystrophy, obviously, if you know the story about my brother Jimmy, who had it, died from it, and the whole show and everything with the business is dedicated in his honor. Well, we are now going to give $30 off the new price to MD. And basically that money is all secured. We spoke to Joanne. I got to get her name because I don't want to give her wrong name out. I just want to make sure. Joanne Monaco, her name is. I spoke with her at length yesterday. And the money from the sponsorship will go for flu shots for the kids. Every flu shot is $30. That's what we're going to contribute to. And that's just the start. And also, too, if you heard the Ned Norton interview that's up, we are going to be working now with Warriors on Wheels, the local chapter in Albany. You know, I believe in this stuff big time. I lived around it. I saw what it was like for my brother. I would do anything, and there's some other things I want to get involved in next year. But right now, I am spread pretty thin, so I've got to, you know, kind of pull back. But we are where we are right now, and everything's good. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Please write us a review. Everybody can go out and look at that. We got 5 stars for everything. Let's see, Facebook, Fiorello Barbell. Co, I believe it is, and Motivation Muscle. It's just Fiorello Barbell. And Twitter, it's at Fiorello Eric. To get a hold of me, it's Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. If there's something you'd like Mike and I to talk about, I'm sure I can talk to him and we can get something for you. I just want to make sure I got everything. Well, I got everything there, but the 3 things I always end the show with is this. Well, really 4. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, and Mike and I talked about this, you know, don't be afraid to speak to them. Show them what your real inner strength is. And I'm not talking talk to just anybody. You know, be careful. But you can sense things, good or bad. You're an adult kid. You know, all right? If you got to run, it doesn't matter. You're no coward if you're going to save your life. But that's not going to happen. Number 2, as my mother always said when we were kids, it doesn't hurt to say hello or smile at somebody because that might be the only attention that person gets that day. And you see a lot of that now. I was saying to Mike before, you heard me on the show, take a look at and go in anywhere, be an observer. Look at all the people that just walk with their head down. They look beaten or they just look unhappy. I like to look at eyes. Eyes tell a lot about people. It's very interesting. You can learn a lot that way. And thirdly, go out tonight. Smash stuff. I mean, go out and rip big hunks of iron up or take a stone and turn it into dust. And my favorite is we are domination, like the stone says. We are going to be 1 million-plus strong for listeners here. I promise you that. Stick with us. Tell a friend. I'm telling you right now, things are just going to get better and better here. And we're here all the time. So, Mike Gillette, thank you, sir, for being on the show.
Always my distinct pleasure.
Just hang on. I'll be right with you. So for Mike Gillette, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show. Mike will be on next month, obviously, but we got a lot of shows, a lot of guests coming up. So stay tuned. And like I said, go out and do something real positive in the world.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.